Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Voldemort has chosen Draco Malfoy for a mission.
Evil will pass through from their world into our own.
These are mad times we live in, mad!
And the darkest hour,
this is beyond anything I imagined,
is upon us all.
In my life, I've seen things that are truly horrific. See worse.
You're the chosen one, Harry.
You have to realize who you are.
Without you, we'd leave the fate of our world to chance. You have no choice.
Harry, no!
You must not fail. It's over.
That's a little bit of the trailer for the movie and the book, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. We're going to be talking about not only that series, but about the latest in this offering from J.K. Rowling and what some people, a lot of Christians, believe are just simply works of the devil. It's wizardry, it's witchcraft, dark powers, evil unleashed on the world. The latest one is practically apocalyptic. Pastor Charlie Lehman joins us here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday, the 18th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. After a half hour's conversation on Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll talk about teaching a Sunday school lesson today. Timothy, young Timothy, is taught. She'll join us from Concordia Publishing House. And then in the second hour of the program, I want to hear what you have to say. We're going to do some audio open lines. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is meeting as we speak. Votes being taken, decisions being made about the ordination of openly gay clergy. There was an attempt to make it more difficult for this churchwide assembly to take this step that was voted down. And it looks like it is moving apace. The leadership wants it. The laity, we don't know. But the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, although it is one of the youngest Lutheran church bodies in the United States, appears poised to follow in the footsteps of all the other declining mainline Protestant denominations and either de facto or officially advocate the ordination of openly gay clergy. We'll talk about it for the entire second hour of Issues Etc. Hear from some of the principals in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America calling for and against this move. Our call-in number, you can call us then or call us now, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor Charles Lehman is a regular guest. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland. He's written a Bible study titled Draco's Dilemma. Draco, of course, being one of the, he's usually considered one of the villains in the Harry Potter series. Pastor Lehman, welcome back.
Thank you.
From the time these books came out, then the movies, of course, spun off wildly successful. Many Christians have cried that this is nothing more than the works of the devil. We should be avoiding them. Your response?
Well, I can certainly understand why Christians want to express concern when one of the central plot elements of a series of books is witchcraft and wizardry. But I think that we should be careful to not paint with too broad of a brush. If we look at the way that witchcraft and such is used in the Harry Potter universe that Rowling has created, I think we see that it is so entirely mechanical that it really bears very little resemblance to what we see condemned in the scriptures. If you think of it kind of like electricity, I think you probably come to a more genuine understanding of how Rowling is using it than if you apply everything that we think of when we hear the word in terms of what the scriptures would say.
Okay, if not blatantly the works of the devil condemned by Holy Scripture, then others might object. Still, the Harry Potter books and movies promote a non-Christian worldview. Your response?
I could see that a lot better if there were certain things that are in the books, if those were not. I'm going to refer to a couple of things in particular. One is that whenever we see a non-Christian worldview, I would say that one thing that is almost always attacked is a clear distinction between good and evil. And actually, Rowling presents us with very clear distinctions between good and evil. And the struggle that Harry faces in the books is, am I going to do what is good, even at great personal cost? And the ultimate answer that he gives is yes, he's willing to do what is right, even at the cost of his own life. So I think that that would be one way that we could respond to the claim that it's not a worldview compatible with Christianity. The other is, particularly in the last two books, Rowling sets up kind of a, she sets up a conversation that you can have on the basis of the books where you can talk about how many of the characters in the story are either living the struggles of the Christian life or are being used in a literary way to be images of Christ himself. And so I think that you could make a much stronger argument, especially on the basis of the last couple of books, that Rowling is presenting us with a explicitly Christian worldview.
Some might be shocked to hear you to make that case. Are you saying that in spite of the fact that one of the major devices of her plots, indeed of the whole world of Harry Potter, is in fact magic, wizardy, whatever you want to call it, the characters themselves, the plot lines themselves, have more affinity with the Christian system of values?
Yes, I would definitely say that.
Okay. For those who have not read the books or seen the movie, the latest, what is the plot for Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince?
Well, in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, you have a couple of things that that are going on that lead up to it. One is in book four, the Dark Lord, the villain of the series, actually, you know, rises in power again and begins in earnest to attempt to kill Harry, who has been prophesied to be the one who will ultimately defeat him. And in book five, which is right before this story, there's a big debate in the general public, the general magic world, whether or not the Dark Lord is actually back. And by the end of that book, it is absolutely clear to everyone that he is back and he is intent on resuming, you know, his reign of terror that he had been, you know, engaged in up until the time that he was hurt in a very serious way when he tried to kill Harry the first time. And so in Half-Blood Prince, what is happening is Dumbledore, who's the headmaster of the school, is getting Harry ready for this final confrontation that he is going to have with Voldemort in the last book, and is making sure that Harry has all the tools that he will need in order to do what he has to do in order to stop the Dark Lord from accomplishing his ends and protect his friends and the school and really the world at large.
Well, Pastor Layman, one of the characters that appears from the very beginning of the novels and the movies as a villain, sometimes kind of a trivial villain, sometimes not, is Draco Malfoy. Who is he, and how? What role does he play in this latest of the Harry Potter books and movies?
Draco Malfoy is one of Harry's classmates. He comes from a very old wizarding family that kind of holds to the old wizarding values, which are that if you are not a full-blood wizard, you're kind of a second-class sort of person. And, you know, his family was in service to the Dark Lord when he was in power the first time, and managed to not fall when the Dark Lord fell. A lot of his supporters ended up in prison. The Malfoys did not. And so Draco always is kind of a foil to Harry. He's always trying to show that he's a loyal member of his side. But as the novels progress and you learn more about the Malfoy family and Draco and his mother in particular, you find out that they're not as wholeheartedly in the Dark Lord's camp as you think they are in the books in the beginning. In this latest book, because Draco's father has not performed at the level that Voldemort wants him to, Draco is given the task of helping a bunch of the dark wizards invade Hogwarts, and he's given the task of murdering Dumbledore, the headmaster of the school.
I don't want to give too much of the plot of the way. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about this dilemma facing what would ordinarily, if you're familiar with the Harry Potter world, ordinarily be one of the villains in that story, facing a dilemma wherein perhaps, as in good fiction, perhaps even as in a good Christian worldview, redemption takes place. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Tuesday afternoon, August the 18th. Pastor Charles Layman is our guest. We're talking about Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in word and sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
All right, so you missed your congregation's budget deadline, or your congregation turned down your request to join the Issues Etc. 300. Well, there's still a way to add your church to the Issues Etc. 300. Now, anyone who pledges $1,000 to Issues Etc. in the next year will add their congregation to the Issues Etc. 300. We'll promote your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc., and we'll publicize your congregation to the world.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Charles Layman, pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland. about the movie and the book Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Pastor Lehman has written a Bible study titled Draco's Dilemma. We'll post a link to this downloadable Bible study under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Now, if you have a question or a comment about Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince or any of the other Harry Potter books or movies, give us a call or send us an email on this Tuesday afternoon, the 18th of August. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. If you can, without giving away too much of the plot, for those who haven't read it or seen it, is there redemption for this once villain, this once enemy of Harry Potter's, Draco Malfoy?
Well, with Draco, things are never resolved in a tidy way that we would really like. But I can say that Draco's hands never are, he never has blood on his hands. And the struggle continues for him for a long time. And he never goes through with those things that he thinks that he should at the beginning of this book and this movie, because he knows in some sense that what he's being asked to do is evil.
Let's talk about that, at least as it can apply by way of parable, if you will, to the struggle. It's seen elsewhere in these novels, of course, in all good literature, but the struggle between that which we know we ought to do, that which we want to do or perhaps feel we must do, and that inner struggle that especially Christians, we might even say only Christians, really truly experience.
Well, I think with Draco, what we can see is he has an opportunity given to him by Voldemort here to completely secure his position in the Dark Lord's camp, and actually to secure the position of his family. If he does what Voldemort asks him to do, then the Malfoys are not going to have their loyalties questioned in any way, and he'll be, you know, right at Voldemort's side and be pretty secure in the things that follow. So he has an opportunity to do what would appear to him to be a good thing for his family. But since what he's being asked to do is to commit murder himself and to assist others in doing the same, he just can't do it, even though he can see all kinds of benefits to himself and his family if he does do it. And I think we can see ourselves living out this struggle, and I think we can see high school students living out this struggle all the time when there are things that we might be tempted to do that would seem to get us something good in the world, but our conscience, the law of God written on our heart, makes it clear to us that some things simply aren't options, no matter how much it looks like they might benefit us.
One of the things up to this point in the Harry Potter world, and it's used to good effect in the previous novels, is an almost complete separation between the world of the magical and the world, the ordinary world that you and I, in the fiction, experience. Harry enters into literally another world of which non-magical people have no knowledge whatsoever, and yet in this latest of the novels and the books, that wall of separation is broken down without giving too much away. What's the dilemma here?
Well, what's happening is things are getting so bad in the wizarding world that it starts to filter through, and you can't hide it entirely from the general public. And so since Voldemort's trying to rally his army and get ready for this final battle, sometimes the non-wizarding world, they're called muggles in the books, get in the way and end up dying. And so the novel actually begins with someone from the wizarding world going to inform the Prime Minister of England of some of what's going on so that he can try to keep it under wraps.
And is this, I said at the beginning of our conversation, at least the trailer makes the climax of the the book and the movie appear apocalyptic. Is that overstating the case?
I think you could say that it's apocalyptic in that at the end of this movie, there is absolutely no question that the final struggle that has to end with either Harry or Voldemort on top has begun. There's absolutely no question that things have reached that point by the end of this movie or this novel.
Whether it's Harry Potter or countless other films, we're fascinated with this theme in fiction and on film of a chosen one. The term is even used in these books, that Harry is the chosen one. No one else can go and face this crisis for all of humanity except him. He has to go do it, and as you just said, it's going to be him or the Dark Lord. Why are we so fascinated with this kind of all of humanity reduced to one, all of our fates hanging on one person?
Because it's our reality. It is the case for every human being that our fates are entirely wrapped up in the fate of one man, and that is Christ. He is humanity reduced to one when he takes our sins to the cross and suffers and dies to redeem all humanity, and that, in fact, is probably the most important theme that we see in Harry Potter in the stories. I would say in particular with two characters. One struggle I faced when I wrote this Bible study is that I think that the most clear Christ figure in all of the Harry Potter series is revealed in this in the plot of this book, but you don't know enough just on the basis of the first six movies to talk about this in its fullness. And so I chose to focus on Draco because this other character's story still has a couple of pieces in the puzzle left to be added before we can really see how much of a Christ figure he is.
Let's talk a little bit about how parents might approach this with their kids, either talking about the books or film, or in this case, going to see the film, a film which is, these films have gotten darker and darker and more treacherous in terms of at least their plot lines as mm-hmm. well. What would be your pastoral advice there?
Well, I would say read the books, watch the movies. Whatever your child is reading, as a parent, you should be reading. Whatever movie your children are seeing, you should be seeing. And talk, I think one of the most wonderful things you can talk about is, in this movie in particular, is, you know, what are the vocations of these characters in the film? How are they serving their neighbor? And then also, you can talk about, well, how are you tempted? How do you struggle with temptation? You know, and where do you turn to when you are tempted? And then you can bring everything back to the cross, which is really, in the end, since it's the only story worth telling, it's the story that ends up getting told in film and in literature over and over and over again.
Where would you put an age limit for the books, but especially the film? Because I don't know how it's rated, but I imagine there'd be a lot of awful little kids seeing this film. Where would you put it yourself?
This particular film, I would say you could probably handle it if you were at the junior high level, but I would not, because of a couple of elements in it, I would certainly not recommend it for a child of elementary school age. Generally, if you follow the rule that the books are generally written so that they are age-appropriate for a child who is Harry's age, you'll be doing pretty good. The age-appropriateness of the books kind of grows with Harry as you go through the seven books in the series.
I don't want you to give away the end either, but here in our final minute, no more, does this finally come down to a literal life and death struggle?
Yes, it does.
It does.
It does. It does for several people. And, There are many beloved characters in the Harry Potter universe who do not survive to the end. But when they die, they die for a purpose, and they die in service to neighbor, and recognizing that giving up your life is not necessarily the worst thing that can happen to you.
Pastor Charlie Lehman is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland. He's written a Bible study titled Draco's Dilemma. You can find out more about this downloadable Bible study at issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Charlie, thank you for being our guest.
Always a pleasure.
If you go to Facebook, you may already have a page there, but if you don't, go to Facebook and sign up sometime, if only for this reason, to visit and become a fan of Issues Etc. at our Facebook fan page. We've got almost 1,800 fans there already, interacting, seeing a few pictures every once in a while from the LPR studio, and finding out in advance what's coming up on the show. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Become an Issues Etc. Facebook fan today. We'll be right back. Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A wonderful pro-life leader, Reverend Thomas Eitenauer, has come up with a good idea, cash for congressional clunkers. In the automobile version, clunkers are defined as old vehicles not meeting minimum standards of fuel efficiency. Reverend Eitenauer's idea is to apply the same criteria to our members of Congress. Why not, he says, use a cash for congressional clunkers program to rid our nation of deadbeat and inefficient elected officials? I'd add those federal officials who don't meet minimum standards of protecting innocent human life should be cashed in for ones who will. There's a lot of clunkers who think a government-run healthcare system should pay for abortion on demand and ration services to our elderly. I'm thinking this congressional clunker idea just might catch on.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.